Welcome to Influencer Marketing for Destinations, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Welcome to Influencer Marketing for Destinations. We are very excited that you have joined us again for today for an amazing episode. Jacqueline and I are really excited to talk to you about our topic today. But before we get into it, we have a very interesting Time Out for Trends segment. Jacqueline, do you want to kind of introduce that to the audience today?
I would love to. So our Time Out for Trends goes really well with our deep dive and our topic for today. It also comes from Influencer Marketing Hub again, because they're such a great resource for us. And we're talking about contracts. So one of the very specific types of contracts that we'll be talking a little bit more specifically about, but that this trend is referring to, is a performance-based contract. The source says that all of these types of contracts are increasing in their frequency and are being used more often. And they have two different types of, two different factors that go along with them. The first one is that as a performance-based contract, this is really defining what the partnership and the relationship will look like, because it's not being based on the content or what's being shared, or even the destination, or even all those little things that we often think about, but it really is based on how people are taking action. Are people converting? Are people actually being convinced and persuaded because of this, and that's becoming a measurement tool? So, what do you think about that, Jess? What are your thoughts?
Yeah. From personal experience, in the last year, I have seen a lot more of performance-based contracts, especially when it comes to partnerships with products. I haven't seen the destinations as of yet break into this market, but I do think it is something worthwhile to look at if you are a destination. I will say, I feel like a performance-based contract is beneficial to an extent for both brand and influencer. Let me elaborate on that. I had a brand last year reach out to me during the winter for one of their campaigns, and it was a solely click-based campaign, meaning the only way that I would make payment is per click. So it didn't matter if the content was amazing. It didn't matter if there was a lot of engagements or anything like that. All it mattered was the swipe ups and the clicks from the link in bio. So I ended up doing the campaign and it turned out great. However, I can see influencers might be a little bit hesitant to jump on a campaign like this, because it does take a lot of time to create content and post it and then engage with your audience. And sometimes you can do your very best to pick a product or a destination that you think your audience will be interested in, but ultimately it is up to your audience to swipe up, and that's how you're getting paid for the campaign. Now, fast forward to this year, I had that same brand just reach out to me again for their upcoming winter campaign. Their contract this year is a little bit different. And this, honestly, I think this is the best type of performance-based contract. This time around, there is actually a base pay. This, as they explain in the contract, this base pay will help with the cost of creating content, right? Because sometimes it does cost money to create the pictures or the videos, whether that be gas money to get to a location or the different clothes that you're wearing, or if you need help getting video content. All of that requires a little bit of effort and money on your end. So this brand has now switched gears and is doing a base pay, but on top of that, for the additional clicks that you get or the specific sales that you get from them, that will be payment on top of your base pay. So for me personally, I think that is the best way to go if you are a brand looking to do a performance-based contract.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think it really does depend on, it depends on the organization. It depends on your company. If you're a DMO, you don't really have a product per se that they can swipe up and click to. You know, you're tracking things by TRT and the hotel tax. And so really booking a trip is kind of tracked that way. But if you're a travel brand or organization like a hotel who really can book trips, or a backpacking company or anything with a product, then that really is a really good format to follow. And I love how you said a base pay is really the way to go, because I do agree with that. It's really nice to be able to offer your influencers a little sum of money up front to let them know you appreciate them and you appreciate the work they're doing, because it isn't guaranteed. There's a lot of marketing is hard, and we know that, and there's not a lot of guarantees, but it is nice to have those two balanced pieces of income.
Yep, 100% agree with that. So without further ado, as we kind of just jumped into the performance-based contracts, let's talk about contracts in general when you are a travel influencer and a destination. We're going to be relying on Jacqueline quite a bit for this segment. She has a lot of experience just by working for Relic Agency, creating and signing contracts with the influencers. And then I will be able to share a little bit from my experience of signing contracts over the last several years of working as an influencer and different things to look for and different things you should avoid.
Yeah, I also want to say is we definitely want to have a little bit of a disclosure here. I'll share a little bit of my background. If you missed our first episode with our intros, I do have a background in public relations, and I did get my MBA or my master's in business administration. So I do have a decent financial and accounting kind of background, but I will admit I'm not a lawyer. And I am not an accountant by any means. So those definitely are two people that when you are creating your contract for your influencers, you definitely want to get their opinion and you want to make sure that this is structured in a legally binding way so that you have some backup there, or else it won't be really worthy of standing on its own the way it should.
Agreed. Yep. And if this is your first go around as a business or a DMO, definitely consult a lawyer or an accountant or both. For safe measures, just to get a contract that's fair for both you and the influencer.
Definitely. So with that, let's get started.
So the first question that I have for you, Jacqueline, is do you have to have a contract? As an agency, you have a lot of experience with this. Do you always have a contract with working with an influencer?
Good question, Jess. So I've been with Relic for 3 years, and my husband is also a influencer in the music industry. With Relic, I've only had one situation where we have never had a contract, and it was mostly just a process problem internally. We honestly just missed that step, and timing was a little messy, and things ended up just kind of going forward. That's not the way I prefer to do things. From a business perspective, I do believe very strongly that the contract protects both the destination, us as an agency, and the influencer. And really, it's more of a step that helps us lay out the goals and values and all of the things that we've already talked about in one place. So I have had a couple situations in other industries, like I said, where they don't do contracts. I'll admit, with the business background I have, it's a little nerve-wracking, but for them, it does work. And that's because they have other relationships, they have other contracts, or they have other situations that do take a little bit more precedence over this one-time thing. So if you have like a long-term partnership with somebody, or you have other things going on in addition to the influencer job that you're about to do, then there could be other circumstances for that.
Yep, agree with that. There are some partnerships that, especially for destinations that I visited multiple times, and since we have that relationship already developed, there are times where we don't create that full-blown contract like we used to. Everything's just in writing through email. So I agree with that, but I would recommend that when you first start out a relationship or partnership, it is important to have a contract. So Jacqueline, for you, who initiates the contract typically? Is it you as the agency representing a destination, or is it the influencer?
Good question. We've only had maybe one or two influencers that ask about the contract. The contract is usually the last step of our process after we've completed the itinerary and done all the proposals and figured out all the details. Usually we'll deliver a final itinerary with the contract. The contract for us has worked best where it is a Relic agency contract on behalf of the destination with the influencer. So to be honest, I don't know if a lot of our destinations, we communicate to them that we do this. I don't know if they'll remember that we do it, but we do it to protect them and us as kind of one side of the coin, and then for the influencers as well. We have had a couple influencers that are super awesome, and they ask questions about the contract and they want to include additional things in there. And that is totally perfect and fine. And we love that because that shows that they're investing in this just as much as we are. And that's super fun and helpful.
Yep. And it shows that they actually read through it.
Exactly.
Very cool. So for your contracts that you typically send out to your influencers, what's in them?
Good question. I know contract is a very scary word, and I know a lot of people often think of, oh man, there's probably a ton of fine print in there. And we don't have fine print in the technical term of, you know, all the tiny words at the bottom. But the first thing that we do is we have all of the legal things, right? So we make sure we include the FTC guidelines. We want to make sure that the influencer is aware and follows them and knows them. Because as we do go into this contract, not only is the influencer responsible for that, but we as a partner are responsible for that as well. And so we want to make sure that the influencer knows that we care about that. We also have a W-9 tax form. Again, I'm not an accountant or a finance advisor, so if you do have questions, Google and ask your representatives. But essentially, this is a legal document for partnerships where if you have a certain amount of money that is transitioning or trading hands, then you need to make sure that you're doing all the tax and legal paperwork and ramifications for that as well.
That's a great point. Yeah, I agree. I've always, when we do the contracts with destinations, W-9 is always included just for tax purposes. That needs to be there. It's not a very fun document to fill out, but it is worthwhile. Are there any other things that you try and make sure are in a contract before you send it out?
Yeah, so the contract goes on to continue and break down all of the services that were laid out in the itinerary. Again, being a legal document, we do have some repetition in here. We try to communicate upfront in the itinerary and proposal and all sorts of things what content we have both agreed on and what the due dates are, you know, what dates of the trip there are. So everything that is more itinerary based with the dates and the content is also put into the contract. This also includes making sure that you're tagging and hashtagging the right people and the right places. Otherwise, this partnership becomes useless, right? We want to make sure that we're doing the right things there as well.
Great. Yeah, I agree with everything you just said, Jacqueline. I think all of those are necessary and should be included in every contract that you sign. Let's talk about maybe a touchy subject. Competitors. I know that there are destinations that either are like close enough to each other that they do compete for traffic and visitors to their destination. Is there anything in the contract that you specifically put allowing or not allowing your influencers to talk about while they're on site?
Very good question. This is one of the touchier subjects that we have had influencers talk about in the past or that has brought up questions. We definitely understand as an agency that influencers, this is your job, you know, this is what you do. And yet we still want to make sure that our destination is being highlighted in a positive way and being highlighted with the feed space, I guess, that they deserve. So our contract lays out who our nearby competitors are that the influencer may or may not know or work with. And then it lays out a specific timetable. Usually we try to do about 15 to 30 days after the trip, and we just ask the influencer to refrain from posting close or nearby the posts or the trip that we're giving them. That way people aren't necessarily tempted. I mean, we realize that tourists don't care about county lines or things like that, but we do want to make sure that our partnership is highlighting and really providing them with all the information they need to make the money we're spending worthwhile for the client.
Yep, I 100% agree with that. I recently just had a contract where a destination hired us to come out to their site, but there was a nearby competing destination that they were very close to each other. And honestly, for most tourists, it's blurred lines. They don't see the difference. But for this destination, that was their main competitor. So what they asked us to do, even though they knew we were going to be passing through and they knew we were going to be stopping at that destination, they just asked us to wait 2 weeks before posting specifically about that place. So I think that's a really reasonable request for destinations to ask. They know that you probably are going to make stops along the way, especially if you've got a long road trip to get there. Or if you're flying in from a new state, of course you want to see the surrounding area as well. But as a courtesy, I think it's totally fair for a destination to ask influencers to refrain from posting about competitors for a certain time frame.
Yep. And I think it's also good to remember, I know for our clients, oftentimes we will reimburse gas, you know, that's part of the contract as well, is what costs are we paying for services, but what other things are we providing in trade, so to speak, or reimbursing. And oftentimes that's gas. So it's interesting to think from that perspective, if they're paying or if a destination is paying you to drive to a specific destination to talk about them, then they wouldn't want you spending the money or reimbursement money on another destination to share about them as well.
That's a fantastic point. Yep. And for any influencer listening, I totally recommend if you ever veer off course and during a destination trip, do not include that in your tax receipt. Be fair, right? The destination hired you specifically to come out to their place, not to a local one. So be honest in your relationship with your destination, even when it comes down to the gas receipts.
Yep. That brings up another topic as well. One of the things we've had influencers ask about and that we've learned along the way is alcohol. There are destinations and contracts that cannot reimburse for alcohol. So that is a good question for influencers and destinations to be aware of. Make sure you're on the same page when it comes to the dining experience and what you're willing to reimburse and provide and what they may need to provide for themselves. And that includes what you want to highlight in your destination. Is that something that you need to highlight and influence people on? Because that may be something that you need to talk to your lawyers and accountants about as well to make sure you're safe there.
Exactly. And all of that, like you mentioned, should be included in the contract. That way there's no blurred lines and both sides know exactly what they're getting themselves into. So great point.
Yeah, I think there's only one more thing that I think of that's super important to mention about our contracts, and that's the termination or cancellation terms. When you're creating a partnership, you want to make sure that each party knows what they're responsible for, depending on what has already been booked or what has already been scheduled for the trip. We definitely all experienced this, I'm sure, in 2020 when we all had influencers planned and then they had to be switched, changed, or even canceled. So, Jess, did you have any experiences with that?
Yeah, I did. Right, 2020 happened to all of us. So I definitely had a couple of trips that luckily we didn't have to cancel. We just postponed them. And I've since then been able to take them. But it was nice to have that, you know, that cancellation termination policy in there. I also think for me, it's helpful too, in case, right, I even get sick or whatnot before a trip. It's just very nice to have that just in case something happens that you're not stuck in a non-negotiable contract. So yeah, I definitely think every contract should have those terms laid out.
Yep. And like I said, I think this part of the contract really reflects the protection of both parties. There shouldn't be, in my opinion, there shouldn't be anything that's all on the destination or all on the influencer, but this is a partnership and we're doing this together. So there is an expectation that together we need to figure it out if something changes.
Exactly. Yes. Well, thanks so much for sharing all of the things that goes into a contract for Relic. I think that's really valuable information for both the influencer and destination looking or listening to this episode. I guess another question that I have for you, is there anything that makes you nervous about a contract or maybe that's not included in a contract?
Oh man, Jess, their contracts can be nerve-wracking, I'll admit, you know, they're not something to be signed lightly. I definitely read all of the contracts that I sign, whether professionally or personally in my life. And so with this particular contract, I'll admit, I think when we first started doing influencers or back at the beginning of my employment, when I just started doing influencers in general, it was scary. I was like, oh man, like, I hope they like this. I hope they sign it. You know, I hope they don't have any questions. But I've gotten to the point where, you know, we all know that these are read by multiple people before they get approved. And so I welcome questions. And so I hope the influencer knows that, you know, if I answer back an email and say, you know, let me go ask our lawyer, or, you know, let me get more information for you, then they know as well that we're doing the best we can and we want to make sure everyone's protected.
Exactly. Yep. And I think if you're an influencer listening, first, if you haven't taken this away from the episode, read the contract. Actually go through and look over things. I recently had an experience with a brand, and there was no, they weren't trying to be sneaky at all, but they had totally left out the section of compensation. Not that I think that they wouldn't follow through, but if for whatever reason something were to happen and that was not included in the contract, I would have lost out on the work that I had performed. Luckily, we were reading through it, and I spotted that lacking paragraph in there. So they were totally cool and made sure to add that back in, and we got it signed and whatnot. But if as an influencer, you should be aware what you're signing and make sure all of the requirements are actually included in the contract. It protects you, and it also protects the destination.
Yes. And this is just another point of communication that can build the relationship between you and the destination. We had an experience where one influencer was very niched, very specific, and there was something she brought up for the contract. And she said, hey, can we put this in here? This is something I usually cover. And because she was so niche, we hadn't thought of it before. And we were more than happy to accommodate that and include that for her. So that was awesome.
I think that's great. Yep. And as an influencer, to just know of, hey, these are specific things that my brand or my niche needs to have in the contract. I think that's really awesome to know about yourself and to know about, you know, your brand. So that's very cool.
Yeah. I have one more question for you, Jess. I'll turn the tables a little bit here. You've done a lot of both short and long-term partnerships, and you mentioned a little bit at the beginning how you have really good relationships that maybe might not have a contract, but does the contract look different depending on whether it's a one-time partnership or trip versus maybe a longer multi-month or longer month partnership?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they definitely do look a lot different, honestly. With the partnerships that are just like a one-time gig, there's a full contract with all the terms and everything that you've mentioned that you include in a contract. That's typically in the contracts that are sent to me. So those, for the first time, we're just getting to know each other. It is a full contract. However, I feel like sometimes when a destination has us come back, the contract is very much shortened or sometimes non-existent. I can't advise that that's good or bad for either reason, but that's kind of just how it goes, at least that I've seen, is when you do establish that good relationship where you know both sides are good for what they're saying. I have seen that contracts start to minimize or stop existing. So that's just been my experience with short-term and long-term partnerships.
Yeah. I've also seen contracts in more the product space, I suppose, not necessarily destinations, but where if you're doing a long-term partnership and maybe you're getting closer to maybe an ambassador stage or where you're going to be representing the brand more fully, you might have a 6-month or a 12-month contract where you are required to post about the product, you know, X amount of times per month or, you know, once a quarter, or you're more expected to bring in and convert people based on, you know, the performance-based contracts we talked about over a certain amount of time. So definitely make sure that depending on the partnership or the organization that you're connecting with, that you know how long the partnership is going for.
Yeah, that's a great point. Very great point. Well, I have loved talking about contracts with you today, Jacqueline. I feel like you shared so much great information for both influencer and destination about what things that they should be looking for or including in a contract when they form a partnership.
Yeah, Jess, it's been so fun to think about, and it's not something we always think about. So it's been good to spend some time pondering it. And I'll drop a little bit of a teaser for our next episode. You guys, we have an amazing guest that we have planned who is going to talk about how important contracts is for him and his destination. So please stay tuned and subscribe for next time. I'm so excited. Thanks for listening. This has been another episode of Influencer Marketing for Destinations, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Jess and Jacqueline and produced by Relic.